Oh, welcome back to the Villain Edit.
Welcome back.
I'm Monty Ashley.
And I'm Raya Saul.
We're still here.
We are. We have not moved from this couch in months.
We got a little distracted and we're sorry.
We had to do some stuff.
We were busy.
We went to Disneyland.
It was nice. We were doing kind of a back and forth thing.
Yeah, I know. And then I ran out. I failed.
All right, but let's get straight to Face Off. Face Off is back.
I am so glad that Face Off is back. And it's an all-star season. And it's the last season.
That is a shame.
Because
but
it's such a great show.
It is exactly what Face Off is supposed to be for me. Like, in the first episode, we had somebody can't open their mold. Go to commercial. Come back. They got it open. And we had, immediately after that, somebody is
has 1 minute to get all the clay out of their mold.
And everybody rushes over to help them. It is just something you do on Face Off is you help your competitor.
And I like that.
Yes, it's great. This season, they claim they're doing a head-to-head thing, which kind of works with the title Face Off.
Oh, sure. Face Off, head-to-head.
But the idea is that each person is paired against somebody else doing the same challenge. And the winner will be somebody who won their challenge, and the loser will be somebody who lost their challenge. But it seems to me that that doesn't really mean anything, because
no, they're still dividing it into top and bottom, and then choosing one from the top to win, and one from the bottom to go home.
Yeah, there's nothing about the head-to-head thing that means the person who did the best won't win, and the person who did the worst won't lose. They are doing a weird thing, where because they're committed to this head-to-head, they're doing, instead of one elimination every week, two eliminations every other week.
Yeah, that's weird. They said it was because they like to keep the show in even numbers.
So you can do the head-to-head, like if you
win. Yeah, right. You can't do head-to-head if you only have one head. That's just a head.
No, that'd be crazy.
No.
There are 12 people, of whom I'd say I remember
a couple?
Five, maybe four.
Yeah, my notes on them are pretty vague. Kelly, yep. She's that kooky chick with blue hair who came up with a story for every character she did, and they were all dumb.
She introduced herself as, I'm kooky and crazy. So she's owning that brand.
That's true.
She's got very light blue hair.
There's a lady named Mel who I mostly remembered because she had this awesome sculpted bat lapel pin that I was in love with. It just says, Mel. She has that awesome bat pin.
I like Mel. I remember Mel is one of the people I remember.
She's awesome.
So I want to get straight to the first week. It's all the same judging and stuff we remember. It's Mackenzie Westmore as the host and Michael Westmore as the mentor and Glenn Hetrick and V. Neal and Neville Page as the judges.
Yes.
So, allegedly, this was supposed to be take a fairy tale and give it the Guillermo del Toro treatment.
But for possibly legal reasons?
These are not fairy tales. They're the characters.
Wind in the Willows is not a fairy tale.
No. The characters that they were given were J.M. Barrie's Tinkerbell, J.M. Barrie's Captain Hook, Kenneth Graham's Mr. Toad, Hans Christian Andersen's Little Mermaid. And at this point, it is clear that the reason they're saying the original authors is to say, Disney doesn't own these characters.
Disney won't sue us if we make it very clear we're referring to the literary characters and not the film characters.
And in fact, it seems like they're specifically Disneyland characters, because Mr. Toad is not really the most interesting part of Wind in the Willows.
He's not really. I think maybe the weasels are. Well, Mole, Ratty.
Yeah, they're where it's at. Then there's also Humpty Dumpty and Gingerbread Man, who I feel like they're in Shrek.
Humpty Dumpty is not from a fairy tale. He is from a nursery rhyme.
Yes, and he's from a nursery rhyme and also in Alice in Wonderland.
And I think Gingerbread Man's just from Christmas.
The famous baked treat, Gingerbread Man. But everybody understood what make it look like Guillermo del Toro meant. They had a lot of pictures of Pan's Labyrinth and Hellboy 2.
They were all very excited about making Guillermo del Toro-style monsters. So, I'm not sure what happened, because there weren't... No.
Most of them did not look like Guillermo del Toro monsters, really. Like, you're given Captain Hook, and you have to interpret this liberally to turn it into a monster, because that is really just a dude with a crude prosthetic hand.
Yeah.
And what Kevin decided to do was say that Captain Hook skinned a crocodile and made a helmet out of it.
Right, the crocodile that swallowed him? Swallowed his... Oh, bit his arm off and swallowed his watch.
Yeah. Captain Hook is not really known for being brave and attacking crocodiles. He's kind of afraid of them.
Yes.
I believe he gets eaten by one at the end.
I think so.
His thing just didn't make a lot of sense. It looked like a person... The head looked like a person head and a crocodile head mashed together. It was not...
Yeah, and it did not look... There was no place to focus. You couldn't really see eyes or anything.
Yeah, like...
It was a mess.
It was a mess, and it
did not read Guillermo del Toro.
Didn't. Or Captain Hook, really.
Guillermo del Toro's monsters tend to be beautiful, but in a weird way.
Yes. So when they got to the judging, they announced that we have a guest judge, and he is an actor. And as soon as they got that far, all of the contestants were giggling with glee.
Because we all know who it is. It's Doug the Hug Jones.
Oh, he's so great. On some shows, like Ink Master, when they say, we have a guest judge, and they bring out some dude with a tattoo shop, and everybody has to act like they're really excited.
Yeah, he used to be, he was on a season of Ink Master 6 years ago.
But in this case, everybody on this show knows who Doug Jones is. He's the one inside the costumes they showed at the beginning. He is the Fawn from Pan's Labyrinth.
Right.
He's great. You love him. We love him.
He's super nice, and he will hug you.
So, you want to go through the looks?
Sure, if you got them written down.
I do. The best one was Tinkerbell.
Well, there were two Tinkerbells.
Yes.
The worst one was also Tinkerbell.
That was done by Yvonne. It mostly just looked like a frowny face.
Yeah, it was like looked like a sad puppet, and the wrinkles looked like wood grain, and apparently she had cried her eyes out, so they just kind of painted the eye sockets black, but they didn't make them look like they went in anywhere.
Yeah, and she knew it didn't work well, especially next to Matt, who did something that looked exactly like a Guillermo del Toro thing.
Yeah, it was like a mushroom. It had like weird mushroomy shapes growing on it.
Yeah.
It very much looked like it came from the same universe as Pan's Labyrinth.
It didn't super look like Tinkerbell, but it's a fairy of some sort, so
yeah.
Fine. It could have been a wood nymph or something.
Sure.
There was Mr. Toad. I didn't like either one.
I did not like either Mr. Toad. They weren't interesting.
The one that won, Damien did. I think it won because it had a cool, old-timey motorist outfit on. Which is at least thematically correct.
Yeah.
The Little Mermaid was a model showdown of my two favorite models.
Ooh, exciting. Did they fight to the death?
They did not. I liked that one of them had a Little Mermaid in a wheelchair, because apparently she had not gotten her legs yet at the point at which this was done.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'd like to picture her just wheeling herself up out of the ocean going, Prince Eric, I'm here for you!
So they're... Yeah. Neither one of the mermaids had great faces.
Yeah, they both decided I'm going to make the face kind of fishy, but weird, like deep-sea crocogator fish.
And if there's one thing we know, it's how Guillermo likes his deep-sea creatures to look.
Yeah, he's done deep-sea creatures twice.
Uh-huh.
And they both look pretty much the same.
They both look pretty similar, so if you get a sea creature, you're going with that. Make Abe Sapien with boobs.
Yeah,
done.
Do it. And Gingerbread Man, there were two that I liked a lot. Jordan did a thing that was kind of, let's say you had a gingerbread man, and he started rotting away, so the outer skin was visible, and also some kind of gross gray brain matter-y stuff was inside.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like a bite had been taken out of it, and then it had been dropped, and then it just rotted away, and it was big and fat and bloated.
And Mel did a more straightforward gingerbread man with facial features drawn on and frosting and a gumdrop nose.
And gumdrop teeth. The gumdrop teeth were pretty cool looking, but they were pretty scary.
Yeah, I enjoyed the bow tie that was drawn on. She also had big candy eyeballs that she did in the palms of the hand, which I don't know that Guillermo del Toro is going to go straight back to eyeballs on palms of the hand.
No, that was more of a tribute to him than like a monster that would be in his films.
Yeah. So Kelly won. I did not think she was going to win. What she did was the a Humpty Dumpty. Right.
Oh yeah, I forgot you even mentioned that. It had a big eyeball in the middle of its head, and then it had
It looked like wood on the front, but as it turned around, it looked like crystals or something.
It was like it had a big gross eyeball that looked like an egg white or like...
Yeah.
Yeah, an egg yolk.
So she won. I thought Matt was going to win. And what she's going...
I hoped Matt would win.
Yeah. What she's going to get is someone in the industry helping them next week. Designing, sculpting, something, whatever she needs.
Right. A well-known person in the industry, which leads me to think it's probably somebody that was on a different season of the show.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Roy. Roy loves coming back on this
show.
They
said, yeah, they said someone that could help fabricate, and Roy is a fabricating machine.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah.
I wish I had a fabricating machine, like a 3D printer.
Yeah.
So let's face off. No elimination this week. Super fun show. I love watching Face Off.
Yay! We're so glad it's back. Welcome back, Face Off.
Another show we continue to watch all the time is Forged in Fire.
We've learned so much from this show.
I know things about heat treating.
I know what flux is.
I know that last week's episode was pretty bad. Real briefly, here's what happened at each round last week's episode. Round one, they're making hatchets. Round one, two people do not meet the parameters. Their hatchets are too small. So the one whose too small hatchet is slightly better gets to go through to round two. He fixes it by crudely welding some metal onto it, but his handle is too long, so he gets eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Then the people, two people who at least met the requirements, go home, make a Maasai lion-killing spear, come back, and one of them, the handle breaks right away.
Yeah.
It's not...
It wasn't a great episode.
It's not that satisfying to watch
people fail
over
and over again.
Like, I want them to be amazing. I want to go, where did that come from?
Yeah.
But
well, sometimes you do.
Yeah.
Pretty often. They have a pretty good track record of that.
Normally, at least one person is doing great. So, here's something I have learned about heat treating.
What have you learned about heat treating?
Well, the first thing you learn about heat treating from the early seasons of Fortune Fire is you do not use water, you use oil.
Oil that has been heated up.
Yeah. And
right.
What you want to do is plunge the hot metal into the oil when the metal is the exact correct temperature or in the correct temperature range and move it up and down, not side to side. If you move it
because that lines up your molecules.
Yeah. If you move it side to side, now one side of the knife is getting cooled, and then the other, and you're going to get a warp doing that. Anyway, I just wanted to say, Forge and Fire, although in principle it is a dumb entertainment show.
It's a good dumb entertainment
really
show.
It's really educational.
It really is. We've been watching for a million years, and yet every week we learn something new. This week they talked about what the difference between different kinds of steel was.
Yeah.
But I'll admit I was not paying attention.
I had always kind of gotten the impression that they were just numbers, and maybe the higher you go, the more carbon content you get. But that doesn't seem to be the case.
No, because some steel doesn't have a bunch of numbers.
Yeah.
So it's like M80 or something.
Or W2. M80, don't put M80 in your Ford, Dryas. This is
not... You never let me have any fun.
This is not going to end well. All right. I would like to briefly talk about the show I saw an ad for, and I will not be watching.
Oh, is it something amazing?
It is called Truck Night in America.
Woo, Truck Night!
It appears to be an amateur near monster truck show where you get an obstacle course that you're supposed to rush through and then some hot, like, fire barrels you drive through.
Okay, you mean drive around like as in a slalom?
No, through. Kaboom! I think.
Okay.
It looks terrible.
Wow.
It is a very American-looking show. I will say I have seen something where people were driving dune buggies up nearly vertical. Rhys is yawning, and that is the correct response to this story.
No. Please continue to tell me about these amazing dune buggies going up a hill.
It might have been on Junkyard Wars.
Oh, that sounds...
It was something about going up a very steep hill. Anyway, Truck Night in America looks like garbage, and I'm not going to watch it to find out if I'm wrong.
Nope. Sorry, garbage truck.
I hate finding... Ooh, garbage truck wars. Now we're talking.
Garbage truck night in America. Yeah, that's where they just run around and dump trash in people's yards without them knowing.
That's the opposite of how garbage trucks work. They're supposed to take garbage from people's yards.
Oh, man.
You're out on the first week.
I grew up in a small town.
What? I don't explain that. I want you to elaborate on why growing up in a small town means the garbage trucks dump garbage in your lawn.
We didn't have garbage trucks in our town.
Oh.
So we would just take our garbage and dump it in the neighbor's lawn.
Okay. Well,
eventually all the garbage in town would be piled up in one lawn and somebody would get their pickup truck and take it to the dump.
Okay. I like it. Just as long as everybody goes north by northeast or something.
Sure.
So, drag race, right?
RuPaul's Drag Race. Drag Race. We are way behind on...
Not on watching it, just on talking
about it. So now we're up to the final four.
Yep, Ms. Cracker has been eliminated, which is...
makes me very sad because I loved her.
I loved her, but she was not really tearing up the competition, I gotta say.
No, she's super talented, but she's also gets into her own head.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as somebody who's super funny doesn't do great on Snatch Game, you start to worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, here are the top four, and I want your opinions on each of them. Number one, Asia O'Hara. Your thoughts?
Asia O'Hara. I am kind of surprised that she made it this far. She seems super, super nice. She's the one that helped everybody make their clothes. She's definitely going to get the Miss Congeniality. And she has some cool outfits. She's the one that has that cool laser outfit with the mirrors on it that she wears in clubs.
Yeah.
I really like her. I don't think she's going to win.
Number two, Aquaria.
Oh, I don't want Aquaria to win.
Aquaria's going to win.
Is everything I dislike.
What? Now, wait a minute. Aquaria looks great all the time. And did a Frank Zappa reference in that last episode. So maybe... knows some stuff, too.
I don't think Aquaria knows some stuff. I think Aquaria got where she is by dating who she dates.
Just make something up. Doesn't matter. James Madison.
No, it's not James Madison. It was...
Holy crap! Aquaria's dating James Madison?
Yeah. I think Aquaria has a sugar daddy and that her looks are largely...
But her looks are all stunning.
Her looks are stunning, but that's all she's got is looking stunning.
Like that cool Predator jawbone 3D printed thing?
That was pretty cool. That was a, yeah.
And
I agree.
Aquaria is willing to go through some pain and inconvenience to look good. She couldn't really talk with that jaw thing on. A couple of weeks earlier, she couldn't see because of all the glitter stuck on her eyes. I think her commitment to looking good...
Well, I don't disagree that she is beautiful, but she has that whole I'm the prettiest attitude that just grates on me.
Fair enough. I will say, of the top four, she is the prettiest. Next up, Cameron Michaels. Surprised to still be in the competition.
I am amazed that Cameron is still here. She has not wowed me.
She was in the bottom like three times and did not blow Cracker away. So I thought
I thought she, for sure she is... Yeah, I'm amazed she's in the top four. I'm happy for her. I hope... I don't want her to win. I'm just mean. I guess I'm just mean.
I'm going
mean.
To ask you a question when we've gone through... No.
Okay.
When we've gone through all these four people, I am going to ask you a question. The last person, Eureka O'Hara. No relation to Asia O'Hara. What are your thoughts on Eureka?
I love Eureka and I want her to win.
Okay. Then I do not have a question that I was going to ask you later.
I think Eureka understands her drag history. She was super excited when somebody noticed she was doing a divine look. I think she's nice and she's funny. And she talks a lot, but she's funny.
I'm not a huge fan of that curl on her top of her head in her interviews.
Well, I have always said, if you're going to have a mohawk, stand that sucker up.
All right.
And it is not standing up, and therefore, I agree, I do not like the curl on her head. It makes her look like a member of the Lollipop Guild. However...
Now I like it.
Oh, you've come around.
I want her to come skipping out with a giant lolly, Joe Besser style.
That could happen. You saw the baby, the adult baby challenge.
All right, so you would say you're rooting for Eureka.
I am rooting for Eureka.
I don't really have a rooting interest at this point. I was rooting for Cracker to pull it out. So I will say I am expecting Aquaria to win. I think that's the most... Aquaria is the person with the clearest path to victory at this point.
Who's our other person in the top four?
That was it. Asia, Aquaria, Cameron, Eureka.
Oh, I didn't write down Eureka. The one I want to win.
No, that we were just talking about.
All right, so what question were you going to ask me now that we've gone through the four? You're going to ask me who I do want to win?
Yes, because the first three you were all like, well, I don't really want him to win. And then you switched it up and had someone you wanted to win.
See, I don't want Cameron to win because Cameron doesn't do drag when he's dating somebody. It seems like he's secretly ashamed of doing drag or something.
Hmm.
And that seems weird to me. Oh no, I would never do that in front of a boyfriend. That's weird to me. I mean, especially if you're on a national television show, it's not like people aren't going to know.
Yeah.
But, so that's my reaction to Cameron was, I don't know. I question her commitment to drag.
I don't dislike any of these people.
I don't either.
It sounds like you dislike Aquaria.
I dislike Aquaria's persona.
All right.
I probably wouldn't actually dislike Aquaria. Aquaria just seems like a little empty-headed twink to me.
Listen. That is a...
What do you think I say about the people I like?
That is an important segment of the drag community.
That's what I said. If I were talking to her in person, I would probably like her.
Glad she hears this.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'm sure she's just waiting for the next episode to drop, too. She's like, I wonder what they're saying about me on the villain edit.
That's the one Drag Race recap show I listen to. And that catches us up because I had dozens of pages of notes on everything we've been watching. And at a certain point, you know, I stopped caring about it.
Yeah, because we hadn't done a podcast in so long.
Ink Master Angels, I continue to think, is a better show than Ink Master, but it's not.
I think that Kelly Doty needs her own spinoff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Where she just is sarcastic and funny.
Yeah.
I don't care what she's doing in that show.
Inevitably, for a show that is dedicated to bringing back the female contestants from Ink Master, they did finally get around to Tattoo Baby.
It was gonna happen.
I was kind of hoping it wouldn't.
I know. She's kind of annoying.
Yeah. All right, before we close out here, let's plug some stuff for once.
All right.
I am on the most recent episode of The Incomparable. That's the flagship show of the Incomparable Podcast Network, which we are a part of. This most recent episode is a Simpsons quote draft, where we quoted some Simpsons and said why we picked these quotes. It's fun.
Okay.
And this summer, The Incomparable is doing a summer of Marvel Cinematic Universe, talking about all these movies, many of them for the second time.
Oh, wow.
Yes, right.
That's not sarcasm. She says, that is not sarcasm.
With
that was
super like, excitement in her voice.
No, what I meant was, oh, wow, are you going to have to rewatch all those movies here in my living room?
No, I am going to be on very few of those, I think.
Okay.
What do you have to plug, Rias?
I have a podcast called The Night Library.
Night Library, Night Library.
Yes, that's our theme song. It's www.nightlibrary.org. And what we do on The Night Library is we read a horror novel and we talk about it. It's inspired by the book Paperbacks from Hell, so they're the usually glossy-covered, die-cut, crappy horror novels from the
80s, ideally.
80s and early 90s, back when paperback horror was a huge thing. The episode we recorded last month, we did the Amityville Horror, And
Ryaz has some opinions on the Amityville horror.
I do. And next up, we're doing a book called Nightlife, which is about a drug that causes people to turn into giant piranhas in the Miami nightclub scene, like you do.
Are you on any other podcasts?
I am. I am a co-host on a podcast, along with the charming Jennifer Lovely, called Don't Read the Latin, where we just talk about horror movies. Last week, we just talked about documentaries, because we're kind of running out of horror movies. But next week, it's back to horror movies.
Cool. And I've been playing a lot of Dragon Age Inquisition again. That's not really a plug, that's just saying what I've been doing.
Oh, does anybody expect the Dragon Age Inquisition? Do the dragons expect it?
Good night, everybody.
Oh, I mean, man.
Totes this Lex.
Totes this Lex.